Press TV headlines. Ecuador declares a state of emergency after unrest the president calls a coup attempt. Also ahead in Afghanistan, six more U.S.-led forces are killed in attacks across the country. And European governments promise to speed up new spending cuts despite a mounting public backlash.
It's 2:30 in the morning here in the capital, Tehran. You're watching another bulletin of World News on Press TV.
Thanks a lot for joining us. Well, Ecuador's vice president, Lenin Moreno, says that rebel policemen are holding President Rafael Correa inside a hospital in the capital, Quito.
Now, the South American country has plunged into crisis as troops have stormed Congress and seized the main international airport. The government has declared a state of emergency and denounced what it calls an attempted coup. And dozens of police officers have taken to the streets to protest against the government's plans to cut their benefits. Similar protests have also flared in two other major cities in the country. Meanwhile, Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez says Correa has told him via phone that he has been kidnapped and is inside a hospital. The head of the Ecuadorian army has said he remains loyal to the president. He has ordered police officers to end their uprising.
It's been a bloody day for U.S.-led foreign soldiers and Afghan civilians in Afghanistan. Six U.S.-led foreign soldiers and four Afghan civilians have been killed in separate attacks. NATO's International Security Assistance Force, or ISAF, says three soldiers have been killed by a bomb explosion and another three died in separate attacks. ISAF says the attacks happened in the country's troubled south, but has not disclosed the nationalities of the soldiers. ISAF has announced that one of its air weapons teams has accidentally struck a group of civilians in Ghazni province, killing four and injuring three others. The recent surge in fighting between U.S.-led coalition forces and Taliban militants has made 2010 the deadliest year for the foreign troops since the invasion of Afghanistan in 2001. The long-term cost of the U.S. wars in Afghanistan and Iraq seems to be much higher than initial estimations.
Now, a new study by Nobel Prize winner for economics Joseph Stiglitz and a public policy professor at Harvard University Linda Baums shows that the two wars could cost the U.S. up to $6 trillion. Now, this comes as more and more American veterans are seeking post-combat medical care. Some 600,000 Iraq and Afghanistan veterans have sought medical treatment so far. This while some 500,000 others have applied for disability benefits. Medical treatment could cost the U.S. about $1 trillion. The figure is 30% higher than initial estimations. The cost of treating illnesses such as post-traumatic stress disorder is expected to rise in time. The bills are also expected to rise as the war continues in Afghanistan and more troops have been deployed. Now, to discuss this further, we're being joined by historian and investigative journalist Gareth Porter, all the way from Washington. Now, many thanks for joining us here on Press TV, sir. Now, it's not just about the health care costs for veterans now, is it? Vague objectives, changing strategies, and unclear exit plans have a lot to do with the course and cost of these wars, wouldn't you agree?
Well, obviously, the full cost of the war is everything that it costs to put soldiers into Iraq and Afghanistan and to maintain them there, as well, of course, as your story has indicated, the cost of taking care of them after they've been injured. It's the latter cost that really has not been taken into account seriously, either by economists or by political figures in the United States. That's why I think it's such a big story.
Right now, how do you think those who have criticized Obama for setting an exit date to respond to this? Now, will they continue to defend open-ended overseas wars at a time of economic uncertainty despite the price tag?
Well, it's interesting. I saw, you know, the initial reaction to the cost of the war as now estimated by Stieglitz and his associates, as, you know, the idea that that should be added explicitly to the administration's appropriations bills for the war has been attacked initially by people in Congress who say, well, it makes the cost of the war look astronomical. And of course, the reality is, as someone then responded, yes, indeed, the cost of the war is astronomical, and you are simply living in a dream world to think that it's otherwise. So, you know, the real question here is whether Congress responds to this new information and to the suggestion that's been appropriately made by some in Congress that this needs to be added to the cost of the war in the actual appropriations themselves, whether Congress will respond honestly and do that, or whether they'll try to protect politically the pro-war political faction in the government and in this country by continuing the status quo, by sort of trying to continue to deny the reality that this cost is so high that this country simply cannot afford it.
Right now, House Veterans Affairs Chairman has called this a crisis bigger than the Medicare and Social Security problems. After 9 years of war and its expansion to somewhat include Pakistan as well, is it too late for the U.S. to climb out of a hole it's dug up for itself?
Well, politically speaking, of course, we're facing an uphill battle in trying to end this war because of the political sunk costs, if you will. That is to say, the institutional interests of the military itself being so enormous that the military is absolutely determined to try to avoid having to end this war anytime soon. But I think that the political reality that's now being revealed is that the costs to society are so enormous that there has to be a political decision by people at the grassroots, as well as people in Congress and surrounding the president, that this must be brought to an end. Now, the obvious way to do that is for President Obama to say, we are going to negotiate a settlement with the Taliban, which will be a settlement that gives a timetable for a full withdrawal of U.S. troops in return for the Taliban saying that they will ensure that the Al-Qaeda cannot have any place in post-war Afghan society or any physical location in Afghanistan once the war is over. We know the Taliban's willing to do that. We know that this would serve the vital national security interests of the United States underlying the war, and there's no reason why not to do this except for the institutional interests of the military.
Right, we're going to have to leave it there. That was historian and investigative journalist Gareth Porter speaking to us from Washington. Many thanks, sir, for your insights on Press TV, as always.
In other news, European governments are promising that they'll press ahead with their spending cuts despite massive public criticism.
The governments are trying to get the people to bail out the banks by imposing austerity measures, but there's no connection between those two events. It makes no sense to penalize the people for accounting fraud on behalf of the banking sector. There's no connection.
Well, this comes amid fresh economic worries in Ireland and Spain. Dublin has revealed a record budget deficit, while Madrid has been hit with a costly credit downgrade. Despite the news, European heads of state are pushing to accelerate new budget cuts. Meanwhile, experts are warning about the fragile state of European economies. Economists say big spending cuts may push European economies into recession. Hundreds of thousands of protesters across Europe poured into the streets on Wednesday to denounce the austerity measures.
In Lebanon, a top political leader has warned that an indictment against Hezbollah members over the assassination of former Premier Rafiq Hariri will lead to the country's destruction. The Druze leader and the head of the Progressive Socialist Party, Walid Jumblatt, says the International Tribunal should take into account possibility of Israeli involvement in Hariri's murder in 2005. He says the evidence that Hezbollah leader Sayed Hassan Nasrallah has provided to the UN-backed tribunal should be taken into consideration. Hezbollah has criticized the tribunal as an Israeli plot against the resistance group. It says efforts to involve Hezbollah members in the assassination case stems from Tel Aviv's defeat in the 33-day war against Lebanon in 2006.
You're watching the World News here on Press TV. A quick reminder of our top stories this hour. Ecuador declares a state of emergency after unrest the president calls a coup attempt. In Afghanistan, six more U.S.-led forces are killed in attacks across the country. European governments promise to speed up new spending cuts despite a mounting public backlash.